You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian Voice of the Bard.
Skeptics, mockers, and Jewish bystanders all wanted an explanation of the earth-shaking events surrounding the death of Jesus. So Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, presented evidence of the resurrection and ascension of Christ by taking them to Psalm 16. And that's exactly where we'll be today on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm Steve Schwetz. Welcome aboard the Bible bus. And to get started, here's Dr. McGee's introduction about the wicked men in Psalms 9 through 15 and the root of the rebellion in Genesis 3.
But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Total depravity of man is a doctrine that is difficult to swallow because it's so personal. We like to speak of the criminal mind and the abnormal person in the objective case. It's always somebody else who's not in our crowd. We are never the villain. It's always the other person. We are the good guys. It might be well to pause a moment while we look at humanity under the Bible microscope and see God's estimate of man. If the popular philosophy of the world is true, then the human race is only twisted a little, which can be altered by the application of a splint of sociology. If society is only suffering from a slight cough, then Listerine is the remedy we need. The Bible presents no such shallow picture of humanity. He says they're all gone out of the way, and he means all. He says their throat is an open sepulcher, and their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. God asks the question, the heart is desperately wicked, who can know it? The Lord Jesus turned the X-ray on the heart of mankind, and over in the 15th chapter of Matthew, at verse 18, I'd like to begin reading there, and it goes like this. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Man has an old nature which is incurable and vile. And that is what God says in Galatians 5:19-21. The works of the flesh are these. And I'm not going to read that ugly brood, but you read it and you'll see that is God's picture of man. The old nature is beyond the panacea of human remedies. Man can no more cure humanity then you can sweeten a pile of manure in the barnyard by pouring a gallon of Chanel No. 5 perfume upon it. The Count de Maistre said, I do not know what the heart of a villain is. I only know the heart of a righteous man, and it's frightful. Where and when did man become such a creature with an old nature? Well, it happened a long time ago in the Garden of Eden. Man was the creation of a benign deity. Man was different from the animal beneath him and many of the created intelligences above him. Man could make a choice of good or evil. If there was no evil, then the test was farcical. Evil was only potential. It was disobedience to the express will of God that was evil and wrong. God zeroed in on one lone tree in the Garden of Eden. Man was forbidden to eat of it. The fruit was not poison. It was delicious. There was a vast number of trees to which man had access. Actually, the test was not that difficult. It was a matter of obedience to God. Satan's suggestion turned man's attention to this particular tree. The failure of man was an international crisis. It brought down the world upon him. He no longer lived in a world that he controlled and was friendly to him. The work of recovering man and turning defeat into victory was God's work. The skins to cover man were taken from animals that were slain. The blood was placed at the way of life. This was the first mercy seat, and you have the picture of it in Genesis 3:24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. You see, that's what Moses put on top of the ark, was the mercy seat, and it was this same picture. God marked out the pathway back to himself from the Lamb of Abel to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The history of man's not pretty. It's the record of that old nature, which is the possession of every member of the human race. Man's history demonstrates the accuracy of all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Goethe the German wrote, "I see no sin committed, but what I too might have committed it." The greatest fallacy of the human race is the absurd notion that man is capable of making a utopia or a Shangri-La or a kingdom of heaven here on earth. The liberal lost his faith in heaven above, so he's trying to make one on earth. He turned to Russia, China, Cuba, San Salvador, but they all have failed him. He is the man without a cause. An infallible society cannot be made by fallible men under ideal conditions. It is non sequitur. Poems are made by men like me, but only God can make a tree, and only God can make a good society. The condition of man is so critical that God has no program to renovate the old nature. His program is to give to man a new nature. You must be born again. At the same time, he does not remove the old nature. The old nature should keep man humble. The presence of the old nature is there to remind man continually of right and wrong.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your life-giving word. We pray that many more will hear it today and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's our study of Psalms 16 and 17 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, we come to the 16th Psalm. And as we come to this great psalm that is here, it is a psalm of resurrection. We have here the resurrection of the Messiah. It's quoted in the New Testament three different places, and very clearly so. You have actually in this psalm the life of Christ, the death of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ, and even the ascension of Christ. And we're going to take that up as we get down in the psalm here. It is a great psalm and one that we ought to spend a great deal of time with. This was actually Peter's text, not Joel, but Peter's text was from this psalm, as we're going to see now in just a few moments. And we'll find that the Apostle Paul, in what I think is one of the greatest sermons he ever preached, was in Antioch of Pisidia. He quoted from this psalm, and it's quoted in Hebrews 2:13 and again in reference to Christ. Now that means that this is the third messianic psalm that we've seen. Psalm 2, we saw there the rejection of the king, but God's final purpose to put him on the throne. And that looks to his second coming. And then we have in Psalm 8, his humanity is presented there. That is the incarnation. and it's so quoted in the second chapter of Hebrews. And now we see him in this golden jewel. Let's call this psalm the golden jewel of David, because he's looking forward to the one that's coming in his line, the one of whom he could say, "This is all my salvation." That is, when this one came. Now let's listen to the psalm. He says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." This reveals, I think, the wonderful voice of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said he's come to do the Father's will, committed himself to the Father completely. He took this place of subjection down here purposely when he took upon himself our humanity. He assumed it. Now, little man down here, and we're pretty little, by the way, all of us are, little man becomes proud and tries to lift himself up. And I'm afraid today that we have men in high places, politicians, if you want to call them statesmen, you may, and men in science, men in education, and ministers, they almost take the place of God today. But I want to tell you, friends, we're pretty small potatoes here on this earth. We don't amount to very much. We were created a little lower than the angels. Now, he came down here and took that place. He took it willingly. He didn't have to take it. I have to take it. I'm glad I'm a man, but I also need to recognize what man really is. And then I rejoice what God's going to do for us and with us someday. And he says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." What a picture of the Lord Jesus. It was a picture of David. Oh, I trust it's a picture of you and me today. And I continue on in verse 2. "O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee." Have you ever just ridden along in your car or walked on a mountainside, a walk by the seashore, and when you did that, why, you could just look up and say, "You're my Lord, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, you're my Lord." Have you ever told him that, by the way? I've got a little grandson, and you can't imagine what it means to an old man to have him crawl up in your lap and put his arms around you and tell you that you're my grandpa. That's quite wonderful, my friend. And I have a Heavenly Father. And since he made us as he did in his image, I'm of the opinion that he likes for us and our Savior likes for us some time to come to him and tell him, "You're my Lord." And have you told him that, by the way? And don't tell him like the crowd that someday they'll say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we perform mighty wonderful works in your name?" He said, "Well, I didn't even know you." Oh, I want my friend, when I call him Lord, to mean it, that he is my Lord. Now let's move on. "But to the saints who are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight." You see, he's the Lord to his saints down here that are in the earth. It doesn't extend to everybody, as he makes it clear here. Verse 4, "Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God," by the way. And of course, you have to supply the word God. It's here in italics because it really means after another. There's only one God, but some go after another. And the word God's not here. It just means another they think is God. "Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips." What a picture this is. The pagan had those that he called his gods, and in David's day it was Dagon and Baal. I get rather amused when I hear people say, "I have no creed." That's what a man said to me. He said, "I just don't believe in having a creed." I said, "You don't?" "No," he said, "I don't." "Well," I said, "that's your creed." He says, "What do you mean?" "Well," I said, "your creed is you don't believe in having a creed. You see, you can't help but have a creed." There used to be a church years ago in downtown Los Angeles, had painted on the side of it because it was in sort of a store building, and the whole side was exposed to the street.
and they had this sign, no creed but Christ. Well, that was their creed. They had a creed. They had a good one. But I think that that's oversimplification, and you don't really quite tell the truth. When you make a statement like that, you need to say, I think, a little bit more than that. Now, listen to him as he moves on in this psalm here. Verse 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Now, this is a very wonderful thing. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Here is the one that came down to this earth, and he took this place down here, and he's walking in a world of sin and sorrow, perfect stranger down here. And he rejoiced in Jehovah. There was peace and joy in his life. And he says, my portion and my cup. Well, what is the difference? Well, my portion is what belongs to me. That's mine. Whether or not I enjoy it, it's mine. And my cup is what I actually appropriate or make my own. You see, at the table, do you mind if I refer to the little grandson? We put on his plate, that is his dish, what's his portion. He can have it. But very frankly, he scatters it around and doesn't eat all of it. He only appropriates so much. So he has a portion and he has a cup. The portion, he never consumes all of that, just what is in the cup. Now there's many a person that's in this world, God is blessed with all spiritual blessings, but he doesn't enjoy them. His cup doesn't run over, doesn't have much in it. God wants us to enjoy life, friends. He came that we might have life. We might have it more abundantly. He said he came that their joy might be full, the fullness of joy. Some of us have fun a little time, but we don't have it all the time. We need to have it all the time. This is a wonderful psalm. Listen now, verse 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. What do you think about at night when you can't sleep? Well, this one thought of the Lord. Now, we come to that which is quoted in the New Testament. Will you note this? Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. And my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, neither wilt thou permit thine Holy One to see corruption. Now this is the psalm of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen now to it. It is quoted first by Peter on the day of Pentecost. And I'm turning to the second chapter of the book of Acts, and this was the heart of Peter's message. Will you listen to it? For David speaketh concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he's on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell or in Sheol. And that was the Hebrew of it. It's Hades, as far as the New Testament is concerned. The unseen world can be the grave. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now listen to Simon Peter now. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, listen to Simon Peter. Let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried. His sepulchre's with us unto this day. And where Simon Peter was speaking, apparently in the temple area, he could point it up to where David's tomb was. He said, David's buried up there. This doesn't refer to him. It refers to the Lord Jesus. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he'd raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Now, there are several liberal expositors. Perone is one of them that says that this has no reference to the resurrection of Christ. Well, all I can say to you is this. When a liberal makes that statement, I have to put down to the side of it what Simon Peter said on the day of Pentecost, and I just can't refrain from asking this question. Simon Peter on the day of Pentecost saw several thousand turn to Christ and were saved, brought a revolution in the Roman Empire. And I just feel like saying to these liberals, how many are coming to the Lord through your ministry? How many are you really touching for God today? That's the real test. I'm taking Simon Peter's word for it. This psalm refers to the resurrection of Christ, and he's not through. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this, which we now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said, unto my Lord sit thou upon my right hand, till I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye've crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, this is quoted as referring to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this psalm again is quoted by Paul yonder in the 13th of Acts. He goes back, and for thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, neither wilt thou permit thy Holy One to see corruption. So this is a psalm of the resurrection. And actually, what you have here is something I think quite remarkable. We have in verse 8, you have the life of Christ. Listen to this. I've set the Lord always before me. He's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. That, my friend, was the pathway he followed down here. It's the pathway I want to follow. Then you have in verse 9, the death of Christ. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh shall rest in hope. When he died there upon the cross, he knew that God would raise him from the dead. How's your feeling today about it? You know God's going to raise you from the dead. Then you have the resurrection of Christ. Verse 10, thou shalt not leave my soul in Sheol, that is the grave, neither wilt thou permit thine Holy One to see corruption. Then you even have the ascension of Christ. Here, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, this is a glorious, as you can see, wonderful psalm here that speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious, wonderful psalm that it is. And it is so used in the New Testament. The resurrection of Christ is prophesied here. This is a great messianic psalm. Now we come to Psalm 17, and actually beginning with Psalm 16 and going through Psalm 24, we have another segment that belongs together. You know, in a song book today, they'll have songs of praise together, songs of repentance, Christmas songs, and all the different songs put together in certain sections of a song book. Well, that's what you have in this song book. Now we come to this section that ends with the 24th, and in each of these nine psalms, we find Christ in prophecy. And we also see that faithful remnant, as we've seen here in the 16th psalm. And they're both, I think, blended together. And the greatest of this section will be the 22nd psalm. Now, what we have here in this psalm is a prayer of David. And the question has always been, when was it written? And we are going to have to wait till next time to see that and also to listen to David's prayer, and also a prayer that is very appropriate for us in these days. So until next time, may the Lord richly bless you, my beloved.
I'm Steve Swetz, and I'll meet you back here next time as we continue to make our way through the Bible. Until then, you can reach us at ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now go with God today in the strength of His Spirit and the truth of His Word.
Jesus made it home. Unto Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole Word to the whole world.
Listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Wednesday night, we have prayer and Bible study, and that's at 7:30 p.m. The telephone number is 732-434-2231. I'll repeat the number again, 732-434-2231. Our church service starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday, sharp. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Father, we thank you once again in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for being able to come out, Lord, and to spread your word, Lord. Your word is alive and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Lord, I pray right now for my radio listeners out there, those that have tuned into the broadcast, that this word will touch their hearts today and that they will receive your word, Lord. And those that are not saved or born again, that have not given their hearts to you, I pray right now, Father God, that they will do so through the quickening and the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing forth a conviction in their lives. Eternal God, our Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're the only one that's able to do this miraculous work in the lives of the listeners. So I pray right now that the homeowners, those that are in prisons and automobiles and nursing homes, wherever they are, that they hear this word, that they will give their hearts to you. We thank you and praise you right now. We bind every demon spirit that will try to hinder or cause confusion where they will not be able, Lord, to hear the word clearly so that they can receive salvation in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for it right now. I plead the blood of Jesus against those, and let the word sail through the airways, that it will pierce the hearts of the listeners, that they will give their hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, we want to talk today about being born again.
Praise God.
It's a wonderful thing to fellowship in churches and so forth, and to sit there and sing songs and clap your hands and so forth. But the word is clear. There's nothing that makes any sense other than a person that's coming into a fellowship looking to have their lives changed through the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And let the word do the work in their lives. And many people today are sitting in churches. They are not born again. They are just religious. They have not a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but they have a relationship with the church. But the church cannot save you. Jesus has spoken this to us all, praise God, that except a man be born again, glory to God. I tell you, you must be born again.
Amen.
Not just sitting in a church singing songs, clapping your hands, and also greeting people and having social relationship with one another inside the church. You must be born again. I'll say it again for the third time. You must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, glory to God, when Nicodemus came to him by night, Jesus spoke to him and told him that except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you today that we not only want to see the kingdom of God or the power of God being demonstrated, but we want to be in that kingdom.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And I tell you right now, by the authority of the word of God, you must be born again. So Jesus told Nicodemus the second time, because Nicodemus, being in the flesh, being a ruler of the Jews, not knowing that he must be born again. So Jesus told him for the second time, glory to God, except a man be born of the water, glory to God, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. Well, I tell you today out there in Radio Land, if you tune into this broadcast, don't be just in the church. Be in the kingdom of God. Let the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit touch your heart, bring you into that relationship that God is looking from us all, that we will have a relationship being born again of the water and of the Spirit. Praise God. And many people today, Minister Glory, they talk about the water and the Spirit, and they don't explain it in the way that I strongly believe that Jesus was telling Nicodemus. Praise God. You see, the first birth was of your mother and father. Glory to God. So there was no need, if that birth was good, there was no need to have a second birth. But Jesus was telling Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water. Praise God. When the first birth is of the water, praise God, hallelujah, you're in a liquid environment, praise God, inside your mother's womb, praise God. But this second birth comes from God, hallelujah. I say this second birth comes from God, and He is the one that brings forth the born-again experience. And I tell you today that if we are not born again, we can sit in the church all we want, we can sing songs all we want, we can go through all of the religious calisthenics. We can do everything that we want to do there. Shake the preacher's hand and enjoy the service or whatever the songs are being sung. But I want to tell you today, Jesus said you must be born again. Marvel not that I say unto you, Jesus said, you must be born again. There's no other way. Must means that it's mandatory. Praise God. It's not just about coming inside of a church building, filling up the pews. It's about the new birth. Praise God. Being born again of the water and of the Spirit. And the only way that one is born again is that they repent of their sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their lives and change their whole life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing, Minister Glory?
That is right.
Because when we are born again, then we are brought into the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we are being able to do what the Word of God says that we should do, because we now have the Spirit of the living God.
You know, Pastor, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is being born again. The old ways pass away and the new becomes like Christ.
Well, listen, let's look, take that a little further here, because what happened is that first of all, there has to be a new birth in order to be in Christ.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes.
Here? So what's happened is that being born again, then you are in Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, a lot of people recite that verse of scripture there, and they say, well, they're a new creature and so forth. But I want to tell you today that you must be born again.
Amen.
Peter talked about it, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, mm-hmm. but an incorruptible seed, which liveth and abides forever. Glory to God. We need the seed, which is the word of God, on the inside of us, Minister Glory.
Amen.
And we have to have that relationship. Once we are born again, mm-hmm. we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. And it's not anything that we have tried to do in of our own, but the Spirit mm-hmm. brought forth, glory to God, that work. In St. John 6 and verse 44, I think it's somewhere in that vicinity there, mm-hmm. the scripture tells us that no man can come unto the Father except he that sent him draw him, and he'll raise him up at the last day. You must be born again.
Amen.
You can't just sit inside a church and expect to go to heaven. The church cannot save you. The pastor cannot save you. There's only one that can save you, mm-hmm. and his name is Jesus.
Jesus.
Glory to God. He is the one that's able to save you. Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful, man?
That is wonderful.
You know, we look like folks come to church, they're looking for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I want to tell you something. You can be born again in your home.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. But then when you come to church, you don't come looking for Jesus. You bring Jesus with you, mm-hmm. because your body then becomes the temple of God.
That's right.
And the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you. I tell you, being born again.
Right.
Now, that is a remarkable miracle that one cannot even express because of the new birth.
Right. And people have to understand that Jesus is the way. He's the only way you can get to God and get to heaven. It says Jesus said unto men, to us right now, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, no woman, no child can come unto the Father but by him, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. We wouldn't have it any other way, because if you come, Jesus said that if you don't come through the door, but if you climb up some other way, you're a thief and a robber. I want to tell you today that you got to come through the door, and Jesus is the door.
He's
praise
the door.
God. He's the door of salvation.
That's
amen.
Right. Everybody.
Amen.
Everybody.
Everybody's got to come through that door.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter who you are.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what your status is in society. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter who you are. I want to tell you, you got to be born again. You know, Minister Gloria, this born again experience is something that people take lightly, because you hear people say, yeah, well, I'm saved.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, you're saved.
Yes.
Well, the policeman can save you. He can save you from a robbery, you know. The fireman can save you from a burning building. But I'm talking about being born again. I'm talking about a new birth. The first birth was between your mother and your father, whomever they are. But this second birth is being born from above, being born of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is.
Being born of God. And that way, when you're born of God, then God places his spirit on the inside of you.
Amen.
Praise God. Where you can glorify him and magnify his name.
Praise God.
Isn't that wonderful?
Making him a personal relationship. You must have him as a personal relationship with him. Hallelujah. Not of yourself. Everything is done by him. He had done it all at the cross of Calvary, and we need to believe in what he has done.
Praise God. Well, the work is done. It was done. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the mediator between God and man.
Yes.
Jesus, the man-child, or Jesus the Christ, or the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that has brought forth salvation. Praise God.
Amen.
And I want to tell you today, right now, in the name of Jesus, that the word is so powerful that when you are able to be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit, repent of your sins.
Amen.
Don't try to do it in of your own.
Nope. Don't do it.
Let the Spirit of the living God bring forth that change in your life. Because if you're not born again, I want to tell you, there's a salary that you're earning because you're not born again. Matter of fact, in Romans 6 and verse 23, Minister Gloria, would you kindly read that to the listeners out there in Radio Land? Because this thing has nothing to do with just coming to church. This thing has something to do with being born again. You know, that's what it says. If you really look at it, it says being born again.
Right.
Now, if you look at the first birth, you were born between your mother and father. But Jesus is saying being born again. That means that this is another birth that takes place.
Amen.
It's a spiritual birth. Praise God. And it only can come through you giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Romans 6 and verse 23, if you're not born again, listen to what you're doing. You have our earnings and you're getting a salary, but it's not from God. Would you read that, Ms.?
Because for the wages of sin is death.
All right, for the wages of sin is death. That means that if you are not born again, you are still in your sins. Are you listening to what I'm saying out there in Radio Land? I don't rejoice in saying this, but I want to tell you that it is vitally important that we understand from a positional standpoint where we are in the church. If you're sitting up there in the church and you're thinking that you're born again because you put your name on the church roll, listen, don't let anyone deceive you. That is not the new birth. The new birth comes through the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Glory to God. Being convicted of your sins, realizing that you are a sinner, and confessing your word that you have in your mouth and say, Lord, I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit has brought forth a conviction. I'm a sinner. And I need to be saved.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the wages that you get from not being born again, it's a salary. You know, when folks go and employ and get a job and so forth, they earn wages. They earn wages from that corporation or whoever it is that they're working for. You see, with not being born again, you're getting a salary as well. It says the wages of sin is death. That's spiritual death. My God, hallelujah, you don't need that. You need life.
Amen.
And life more abundantly, because Jesus said that he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So Apostle Paul was right there to the church of Rome, and he was telling them that their wages, you know, that's a salary. You know,
yeah.
Good God Almighty. Let me say this for a moment. The sinner man that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ or refuses to receive him, he gets a salary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's spiritual death if his life is not changed. We that have received the Lord Jesus Christ, we also get a benefit.
Amen.
That benefit is eternal life. And it only comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Minister Gore, you want to read the remaining part of that verse?
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes,
glory
it is.
To God.
Amen.
The gift.
Mm-hmm.
And see, this is what is so important. And a lot of folks have been deceived by the evil one,
mm-hmm,
and telling them, well, you got to do this and you have to do that. No, it's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot earn this gift.
No.
It's just that you should be able to say, Lord, I receive,
mm-hmm,
the Lord Jesus Christ,
amen,
as Lord and Savior of my life. It's a gift. Jesus is the gift of God.
Yes, he is.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
He's the gift that God gave to us. You don't have to try to earn. You can't earn no salvation.
No.
You cannot earn it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't earn a gift. All you do is receive the gift. And what did Paul say? And he says that, but the gift of God.
The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay, so the gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
So God gave Jesus to us as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And all we need to do is just receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't sit up in some church there. I don't care how many people that are there. I don't care what you're hearing if it's not the word of God. Don't sit there and think that you're born again. There's a process that one must be born again. Praise God. There's a process. And what I'm trying to tell you is that God loves you, but he doesn't want you sitting in there. And people say, well, I come as you are. Yeah, well, that is good. And that's true. Come as you are, but God doesn't want you to stay as you are. You see, when you come, if you're not saved, born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, what happens is that you sit there, you hear the uncompromised word of God.
Amen.
Because without the word of God, there's no faith, there's nothing. You're just a social club that's making speeches one to another. But when you hear the word of the eternal God, the word that will change your life, receive this word and let it change your life.
Thank God for his grace. Amen. Thank God for God's grace, because we are saved through faith and not ourselves. It definitely is a gift of God.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. And you know what else it says? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Everything's about Christ, Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Once you're born again, now you want to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. And then we can walk in what he has told us to do, according to his word of God.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, we can't boast about our salvation.
No, we cannot boast.
None of us can boast about it.
No.
Because it's a gift. All we've done is receive, mm-hmm, this gift. In Titus 3, praise God, the word of God tells us,
mm-hmm,
hallelujah, that it's not by works of righteousness which we've done.
Nope.
Listen, we can't boast. There are a lot of folks that are out there, and like I said, I don't say this with a great deal of joy that one is not born again, that should be born again. Listen, receive the gift.
Mm-hmm.
Receive the gift of God. Minister Gloria, would you read?
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done.
Amen.
But according to his mercy, Lord have mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord. You see, so we can't boast about what we have.
No.
All we've done is receive the gift. And you have Lord Jesus, my God, all we need to do is just receive the gift of God.
Amen.
And the gift of God is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The one that came into this world, walked this earth, did the miraculous through healing and deliverance.
That's right.
Died on the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
For all of your sins.
Amen.
All we need to do is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
None of us can boast. None of us can brag.
No.
All we've done is receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the gift of God.
Amen.
He is the gift of God.
Amen.
And that's what we've done.
Yes.
We are no better than all the others.
No.
The only difference is that we've received the gift of God. Others have rejected the gift. But they still have time to receive the gift of God before they expire on this earth here. And I pray that they do. Glory to God. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the gift of God, came into this earth realm. The Bible tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me tell you something. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, hung there on Calvary's cross. My God, he bore all of your sins.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's what he's done. He took everything and nailed it to his cross. And I tell you, and if you reject Jesus, the Son of the living God, you will receive your wages and it will be spiritual death. But something else, Minister Glory, Jesus.
Yes.
He took our sins. Yes. He took the wrath of God for us all.
Yes.
Amen. The wrath of God. God laid the iniquities of us all on Jesus.
My.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Giving us the right to have eternal life.
Praise
if
God.
We believe and receive Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
That is something. Yes.
Right there on Calvary's cross.
Mm-hmm.
He shed his blood for all of our sins. I said, Jesus did that. Your preacher didn't do that. The church that you are affiliated with didn't do that. There was only one that died for you.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus. You got something you want to say, Minister Glory? Because I tell you, this thing is getting deeper and deeper because what's happening is that this is why we place our faith.
Hallelujah.
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 We place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And only the Lord Jesus Christ.
And not in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Not what we feel that we are able to do. And I'm not talking about a religious spirit.
Nope.
I'm not speaking of a self-righteous spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not speaking of an ungodly spirit. I'm talking about the spirit of the living God that only given by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What did he do for us?
Did it all for us.
He took everything.
Took everything.
He is our future.
Yes.
When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our future. Glory to God. He has made it possible that we would have eternal life, that we can drink from the fountain of life freely. Glory to God. Nobody can earn this. It's a gift. I pray today that everybody out there in Radio Land, consider your position. If you're in the church and you know that you're not born again. You know that you have not given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're sitting there enjoying songs, the singing, and all of the other things that goes on inside the church. But I want to tell you today that you must be born again. You must give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise yes. God. Give your heart to Jesus.
Amen.
And he will change your life.
Amen.
Just as he's changed everybody else's mm-hmm. lives that have received him mm-hmm. as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
I pray today that don't sit in the church there and don't know Jesus. Just enjoying the singing. Oh, they're good choirs. Of course there are. They're nice fellowship. But I want to tell you, if the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached in all of these mega churches, I want to tell you something. There'll be a thinning out process. Mm-hmm. Folks that don't know the Lord will leave. I want to tell you. And the ones that know the Lord Jesus Christ will give him all the glory.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise
well,
God.
I tell you today, I thank you for tuning in to this broadcast. But I want to extend this invitation. Because sitting in the church you and not be born again, you can go to hell. You don't have to sit in the church and go to hell. You can go to hell outside the church. But if you come into the church, give your heart to Jesus. Open up your heart and receive the word of God. Minister Gregory, would you just
that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord one. Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. All you need to do is be born again. God bless you all. Until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.